Oh, that would take your breath away if you weren't ready to keep moving. That was good. Well, let me go ahead and have you open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. While you're turning there, if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, we'll read verses 19 through 21. I want to say hello to Debbie Creamer. She is looking to have surgery possibly Tuesday or Wednesday. If you are not aware, she broke a few bones this past week. So she won't be in church for a little while as she's recovering. I'm not exactly sure which ones. I believe a collarbone and I think in the leg, ankle. So, and then, of course, Charlotte Shearer is looking to have surgery. Do we know the date on that? Tuesday? Okay. So I want to say hi to Debbie. I want to say hi to Charlotte, and we will be praying. Brother Wayne Sipe, I want to say hello to you as well as we're praying for you. And of course, Rick Shearer. Hello, Brother Rick. Brother Rick is going through chemo, so he is unable to attend until he gets through all that radiation. And then Dennis Kinslow, Dennis and Patty. Dennis had to go back into the hospital this past week, had a heart catheter. They're waiting, actually, for a possible heart transplant. Brother Levi, you give him hope. So we're praying for Dennis and Patty. And then, of course, Harold McPeak. Brother Harold, I know you're probably watching, so we want to say hello to you as well. I know I'm going to miss some people, but those are folks that are out for a little while. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. Elijah, this is the call of Elisha. Now, these names are very similar, so if you're not familiar with these two characters, Elijah and Elisha, I'll do my best to pronounce them correctly. But they are two different characters. Elijah is the mentor, okay? And Elisha will be the one getting mentored. Verse 19, so he departed thence. This is referring to Elijah, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto them, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. So we'll figure out a title here sometime in the sermon. There are a few lessons that need to be brought out as we consider. We can call it the call of Elisha, the call of Elisha. That would be good. And I would have liked to have zeroed in on one primary thought. There's actually about three that we need to look at as we've looked at these verses. So we're going to pray. Is there special music tonight? Okay. All right, so let's pray together. Father, we love you. We are thankful to be in your house, and we're thankful for the wonderful testimony. Lord, I am grateful for the light you have shined through Nancy to all of us, and it has been a blessing hearing that, and we certainly were blessed with Brother Steve's presence and fellowship as well. And we certainly look forward to that day that we all get to reunite. In the meantime, we need food for our soul, strength for our faith. We need the Spirit of God to help us, Lord God, in this sojourn, in these earthen vessels. May you help me to teach and preach this particular passage of Scripture this evening. And may your Spirit of God work in our hearts as we bring it out and help us to consider how it applies to us. Bless the special music now. And I would ask that you'd be with Debbie Creamer and Charlotte Shearer as they prepare for surgery. Bless Brother Wayne and help him in his recovery. And Dennis Kinslow in regards to this possible heart transplant. May You open doors there. It's a difficult thing to ask for, knowing what it calls for. But we do pray that you'd give him grace and give Patty grace. Bless Brother Harold as well and Brother Rick and many others who are ill. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for our fellowship. Meet with us now. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Abba. That is the Bible word for Papa. All right. 1 Kings chapter 19 again. 1 Kings 19. So if I can get you to visualize Elijah. Here he is. He's a hairy man, the Bible says. He wears leather buckskin. I don't know if he's got a raccoon hat, so I don't know if he looks like Daniel Boone. I doubt that. But he is identifiable. There's a distinguishing look about this man. And he is, we would say he's well known at this juncture in his life, though he is just coming out of a season of despondency. After his time in the cave, the Lord has revived and refreshed his spirit, and time with the Lord will do that. And the Lord has given him a call, and he has been given a commission to anoint two kings and another prophet. Now, I find it interesting that the order the Lord gave Elijah was, you need to anoint Hazael, the king of Syria, and then you need to anoint Jehu to be king of Israel, and then you need to anoint Elisha as a prophet to take your place. I do find it interesting, and maybe this is Elijah telling the Lord, I'm ready to be replaced now. Because he goes to Elisha first. I'll show it to you, okay? Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Now see, if you read through 1 and 2 Kings, those two fellows don't get anointed as kings till a number of chapters later on. That doesn't take place for a few chapters. What we see immediately after this message is, so he departed, verse 19, thence, and found who? Now, I don't know. I read that and I think Elijah's still thinking, well, I don't want to die, but I'm just letting you know I'm ready to go. Where's he at? And the Lord let him know where he was at. And so that's not the primary thrust of the message, but he finds Elisha. Now this is significant. The details are very important. The details are important because we don't know a whole lot of about Elisha other than what we have in this little passage here, but there is a lot. There's more about Elisha's origins than there are Elijah's origins. He's a mystery man, his origins are for the most part. But he finds Elisha, and there are three aspects of Elisha that I want to point out. Or three applications concerning his call. First of all, I want us to notice that I'm calling it the compliment of being a working man. So when he finds Elisha, notice what he sees Elisha doing. He finds him and it says, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. Now I looked this up. A yoke would hold two oxen. It would hold a pair of oxen. And most likely there were 12 men plowing with 12 different yokes. There were 24 oxen on the field and they were tilling up the ground. Elisha, as Elijah would perceive it, and he would see these 12 yoke of oxen, Elijah would see Elisha. I can see him. He shows up and he sees these oxen plowing the field, these men behind the oxen holding it straight line, and he looks, one, two, three, number 12. It's the 12th one. Elisha's on number 12. So he walks by Elisha. This is on, right? That's on. Okay, I'm just going to, before I do what I'm going to do, I need to let you know I have not blown my nose in this. This is a clean hanky. I've not wiped my nose. I'm not even wiped dirty hands on this. Just before I do what I'm going to do. Okay? Because I would want to know if I was sitting where you're at, I would want to know where this has been. I would want to know if there's anything on it that shouldn't be on it. There's not even a dirty stain on it. There's not even a last week stain that went through the washer and it stuck. This is a clean hanky. So Elijah, as he passes by, and he comes to the 12th yoke, and he sees the 12th man, he doesn't throw his hanky on him. He throws his mantle on him. Now, they all knew who Elijah was. I mean, after calling down fire and a whole nation of people saying, "The Lord, He is the God," believe me, if you weren't there, the word spread. Details spread. They knew who he was. When Elisha had that happen to him, he knew exactly what was taking place. He was being called to the ministry. Now, I'm under the impression, I believe Elisha knew something inside before Elijah ever showed up. And I'll prove it in a little bit. But immediately the response. He responds, the Bible says he leaves the yoke of oxen and he comes to the man of God. That's what the next passage says, I believe. Am I correct? He left the oxen. And then he has a request. He has a request for the man of God. That request is, allow me to go kiss my parents and then return. And Elijah says something that it's like, is he being rude? And I can't wait to explain it. He says, "What do I have to do with thee?" We'll come to that. So he does. He ends up taking the yoke of oxen that he worked with, and he boils them, sacrifices them basically, and then he has a big celebration with the people of his community, and no doubt he kisses his parents goodbye, which is a good thing. He loves his parents, and then he goes and he returns to Elijah, and Elijah doesn't rebuke him, and Elijah doesn't say a second time, "What do I have to do with thee?" No, he doesn't. He accepts him. And so from this point on through 2 Kings 2, Elisha ministers to Elijah. Now, point number one. God wants us to see something about Elisha's character that I believe is very important for all of us. All of us. And that is, he was a working man. He was a working man. He was plowing the field. I've said this before. I'll continue to say it. As I read my Bible, I've never found God call a lazy man. Never. Not only that, I've never seen God use a lazy man. As a matter of fact, God commends work and labor. Now, please hear me and understand what I'm talking about. There's a difference between being physically unable to work and just not working when you are physically able. We all understand the difference. I hope we do. And nobody should feel guilty if they are ill and they cannot go to work. You can't feel guilty about that. And you can neither should you feel bad about the ailments of an aging body not being able to work like it used to. You shouldn't feel bad about that. That's just part of it. But on the same token, we are in a society that people need to get off their duff and start working. There's a lot of welfare recipients. I mean, we're almost evened out with people who are taking free, getting free money and people who are working. When the scales get tipped too far, guess what? Everything collapses. I mean, we're real close. Real close. Just to throw that out. That's just for coming to church, you know. As a reminder, we know what's going on here. Just because you can get free money from the government doesn't mean you shouldn't work if you're able to work. If you're able to work. It's actually dishonoring. God said to Adam after the fall that he was to work. He would live by the sweat on his face. He was to work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10 tells us if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Hello? By the way, that'd put people back to work. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor, there is profit. And so we find Elisha plowing the field. Plowing the field. And here's what I want you to get to. So God tells Elijah, I want you to call Elisha to the ministry. I don't know anything about Elisha other than he's plowing the field. He's plowing the field. And God looks down and says, I'm watching that. I think that's serves well for the working man. That God pays attention to the everyday laborer. That God is watching. And God sees it as honorable when we do our job with the health that He's given us, the energy that He's given us. By the way, there's nothing too menial. If you're at home and you help clean up the house, you take out the trash, you do the dishes, those things are important. That's good stewardship. That's taking care of your property that God's given you. That's just plowing the field, just plowing the field. And God had been paying attention to Elisha. God knew he was a man who'd plow the field. Long before Elijah did, long before we did, God says to Elijah, "Go, I want you to go find Elisha. Where's he at? You'll see, he'll be plowing the field." It's amazing. Those are the people that get things done for God. They just are. People who have a mind to work. I love that in Nehemiah. When they started rebuilding the walls, he was surrounded by a band of men who had a mind to work. They knew what needed to be done. They knew what they could do individually. And so they did their part. Everything was important. Whether they were mixing the mortar, whether they were delivering the bricks, whether they were cooking the meals, whether they were taking care of the adversaries. Hey, everything was important. Whether they were swatting bugs, keeping the place clean. I believe in a clean workplace. I mean, hey, everything was important.
So I just felt like it'd be remiss if I didn't emphasize that for a moment. Because you need to know God's watching you tomorrow morning when you have to show up at work and it's like, the grind. You're back to the grind. Plow the field. You see, that pleases the Lord, and that makes a difference. And those are the kind of people God says, oh, you're a difference maker. Now, Elisha, I believe Elisha had an inkling. There's a word I don't pull out very often. You guys ever use that word, inkling? Inkling. A feeling of the Lord working in his life. there was something else I need to mention here too. You see, when you're faithful with these little things, so-called, God can trust you with the true riches. Elisha was a faithful man with the plow, with the oxen, with the tasks at hand. And God says, I've got another job for you now. So, Ruth, I mean, you go through the Bible, Ruth. She shows up in Bethlehem, Judah, and what's she do? She gets to work. I love what the Bible says about the virtuous woman. She riseth up early. I mean, we see these people work. They labored. Now, I move on here. Oh, I need to say this. You don't have to be called to be faithful. But you have to be faithful to be called. That's just something worth thinking about. Next. You got a minute? Next. So we see the compliment of being a working man. But next, as I look at Elisha, I see the commitment of a difference maker. The commitment of a difference maker. Now, notice once again verse 19. I'm going to read it quickly. So he departed thence. Elijah found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he, that's Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father, and so on. And then he goes to verse 21, and he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah. And so what is this? Obviously, he did some things that revealed he was a committed man. There was no doubt about Elisha's commitment. You say, why? Well, he just took his property that he made a living with and he ate it. Now, I realize not everybody can do that. But he had edible property. And he boiled the instruments, the yoke, and all of that. He shared. Once you get rid of the property that you use to make a living, it's like burning your bridges. I think it was Cortez. It was Cortez who, when he brought his ships to South America, he burned their ships so that the men would have to explore. He didn't want to make it easy for them to turn back. Well, Elisha just made it difficult for him to turn back. He revealed a commitment there. I'm all in. Okay, Psalms 37:5 says this. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So in a sense, Elisha, when he received the mantle of Elijah, he acknowledged God's call. He accepted it. He would prove to God and to the community, I'm all in. He no doubt kisses his parents. He follows after Elijah. He's committed. Trust also in him and he will bring it to pass. Allow me to share quickly. God certainly brought it to pass. Because Elisha, it's hard to imagine that somebody could outperform Elijah when it comes to the miracles of God. But Elisha did 10 more, twice as many miracles as Elijah. Oh, it's incredible. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." See, once you commit yourself to the Lord, God will get your thinking right. But see, until you make that commitment, you're like the guy in James chapter 1, verse 8. He says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." You see, because Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or cling to the one and despise the other. But you can't serve two. And so when it comes to serving the Lord, Elisha, what are you going to do? I'm all in. I'm all in. Well, that helped him get his thinking right. It made it real clear. It made him stable. It made him stable. People that waffle back and forth, they're not just unstable spiritually, they're unstable in all areas. Unstable in all his ways, says James. All his ways. All relationships. If you can't make a decision for Christ, you have a tough time making serious decisions about anything else. Now I move on here. Because we look at this statement. Elisha wants to go say goodbye to his parents, and Elijah says this. Look at verse 20, please. We're nearing the end. I mean, I know it's been a long night. I didn't take a nap this afternoon. I only had one cup of coffee. I'm complaining to you, but that's all right. The beauty of being tired is, man, you kind of just get loopy. And I had a funny bone in me a little earlier. And my wife says to me, "You better calm that thing down." She says, "People are sick and ill and all of that, and you're sitting there laughing." So anyways, so I'm not laughing anymore, crying out loud. But look at verse 20. "And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" I do not believe Elijah was being heartless. I do not believe that his motive behind that. So, he cast the man. That's clean. It's clean. You can smell it, beyond it. When he asked, "I'd like to go say goodbye to my parents. What have I done to thee?" I do not believe Elijah was being mean-spirited. No. Elijah was a spiritual man. Would you all agree? When he said, "What have I to do with thee?" You know what he was saying? I didn't call you. I didn't call you. I'm doing what the Lord said. But whether you come with me or not, I didn't call you. So you can do whatever you want. You see, because you're not going to get far in the ministry if you have not been called. Now, I believe God does use other people and other situations to help bring that out. I believe in my heart David had an inkling long before Samuel ever met him. You know how I know? Because in 1 Samuel 13, the Bible says that God sought him a man after his own heart. You know, when God seeks, it doesn't take him long to find. That's chapter 13. It wasn't until chapter 16 that David gets called. What was David doing in those three chapters? He's plowing the field. He was tending the sheep. He was busy. Yes, he was. And all Samuel did was bear witness to something that David thought, wow, it's real. It's real. And God knows how to do that. God knows how to get our attention. Yes, he does. He sure does. And so Elisha leaves. He comes back, and Elijah does not begrudge him of all that he did. As a matter of fact, they carry on a very effective, powerful, wonderful ministry. But I need to conclude with this point. Uh-oh, we seem to have gone longer than what we planned. I'm glad nobody's in a big hurry. If the rapture comes, you'll say, I'm glad I wasn't bored at church. Because the final point is this. We got to consider the classroom of spiritual growth. See, we come to verse 21, the very last phrase. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now that's huge. You see, because nobody becomes a successful leader till they learn to be a successful follower, servant. That's huge. Joshua ministered unto Moses. By the way, two great men there, both had predecessors. This is significant. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, Paul says to Timothy something. The things that thou hast heard and seen of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. The same commit thou to faithful men. Now you can teach it to lazy people, they're not going to get anything out of it. It's not going to, though knowledge puffeth up. That's all it'll do for them. But faithful men, they're going to make a difference. So Timothy, I want you to look for people with some character. I want you to look to help disciple people who will work. I want you to work with people who have a mind to work, who want to be, they're already involved. You look for them. They're already proven faithful. Look for them. That's what Paul says to Timothy. I think better with my eyes shut. I'm sorry. I didn't tune you out. I just couldn't remember. So, Elisha, though he's called, I get to use this word. This is one of my favorite words. He gets to sit under Elijah's tutelage. Don't you love that word, tutelage? I mean, how often do you get to break that baby out? So, he gets to sit under his tutelage. Do you know what tutelage is? It's not a meal. I know it sounds like goulash or something. It's not. How many, honest to goodness, how many have never heard the word tutelage? Would you raise your hand? I love it. See, you learn more than just the Bible coming to church, man. Tutelage. How many of you have known that word? Yeah. Have you had a chance to use it lately? Tutelage. Well, it makes a difference. Who are you? It makes a difference what tutelage you're under. Elisha said, I'm going to be under your tutelage as I'm called. Now that's wise because Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. There is a principle of what you hang around, you kind of become like. Somebody hangs around a German Shepherd, they start looking like one. You hang around a pit bull, I'm teasing. Hey, I need you to turn in your Bible to this verse, okay? Really, we're almost done. Jeremiah 5:5. Brother Bill, I feel awake now. I was a little fatigued earlier. You might be regretting the fact that I'm awake now. Jeremiah 5:5. I love this passage, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremiah 5:5. I'm going to read it whether you're there or not. I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. And then he talks about another group of people. But I like that. He says, I will get me unto the great men and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord. I mean, that's wisdom there. There's a fellow that says, if I'm going to change, I got to get around changers. I mean, if I'm going to be perfected, I got to get around perfectors. I got to be around some people who can sharpen me. Hey, this is so important. You're going to like this quote. If you still got enough energy in you. I know you've been sitting for a while. You see, the good that you allow in is as important as the evil that you keep out. I'll say that one more time. The good that you allow in is as important as the evil that you keep out. And Elisha said, I want what you have in me. I want it in me. I know that you are affected. And if I'm supposed to take your place, there's no way I can do it without hanging out with you, without listening to you. To be your servant, it's a privilege. And so Elisha does this. And Jesus did say, he did say the servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now, we're going to conclude with these two verses. I need you to take a look at 2 Kings chapter 13, but don't lose your spot back here in 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. I will assure you we are on the last lap of this sermon. And it is only a quarter mile lap. It is the last lap. 2 Kings chapter... I have jogged on a mile lap before. Up at Hazelwood Raceway, the harness racehorses. Yeah. That's another story. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 13. So if I said last lap that way, it'd be a long time. I want you to notice, this is when we come to Elisha. He is getting ready to die. He's in hospice care. He's still got a little grit in him, though. He hasn't quit walking with God, though he's in hospice care. Okay, so we see him here. God still has a plan for him. The king of Israel finds out Elisha is sick. He knows he's got to go see him before he dies. Because even the king of Israel, who is a man who's not been exactly right with God, he knows the necessity of Elisha being around in the country. He understands this. This is what he has to say. Verse 14, yeah, is that it? Is that the verse I was looking at? Yes. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, Oh, my father, my father. Now notice this statement. The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What is he saying? He's saying, I know you're the reason the enemy's not conquered us. He's saying, I know it's because of your influence. The grace of God is still on us. You're not a king, you're not a soldier, but you're the one making this big difference for Israel. Long before Elisha would be called the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, he was a man plowing the field. Sensitive to the word of the Lord, responsive to the will of God, who chose of his own volition to be influenced by a man, by the great man. You know, you and I may not be able to get around great people personally, but we look at the books that are available to us. Zig Ziglar, I think he's a great man. People who can influence us in a positive, powerful way. I mean, today, it's accessible. And certainly there are people around here with skill sets that can be beneficial to us, that can help us. So, finally, this is very, very significant. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. This will be the last passage of Scripture, I believe, that we're going to read. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now here's what you got to understand. We just read a passage about the last days of Elisha. He is recognized as the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Notice what takes place at Elijah's homegoing. Now remember, Elijah, Elisha's mentor, he doesn't die a physical death. He gets caught up in the air in a chariot. And Elisha witnesses this. And when Elisha sees him caught up, this is what Elisha says. I should have been there. 1 Kings 2, verse 12. Where are you at? What on earth? I am totally off the mark. 2 Kings 2, verse 12. If you turn to 1 Kings, you were as far off as I was. 2 Kings 2, 12. The blessing for me, though, is you didn't get ahead of me. 2 Kings 2, 12. Elijah is getting lifted up, going into glory. Elisha, the Bible says in verse 12, saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of what? And the horsemen thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to share with you, Jared, can I borrow you for just a minute? Can I borrow you? Come on up here. So here, wait a minute, wait, we got to do this right. Okay. And so you come on up here, bring it back. Okay, and so I want you ran relays, right? Yep. We can safely say Elisha says to Elijah, Father, Father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, as he watches them go. And the baton is passed. But then the day comes when it's his time. And what is he called? The chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Everybody recognized he took the baton faithfully. See, here's what we all got to get, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get this. Israel as a nation, I'm talking about the northern half, was protected because of those two men. I did not look up the exact duration of years, but we're looking at about 50 years. Elisha lived longer than Elijah. Every church, the longevity of every church is determined by this being handed off to faithful men. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Every family that has successful generations of Christians, if they move on to the third and fourth generation and they say, yeah, my great-great-granddaddy was a preacher and we went to a Baptist church and yeah, we all grew up in church. And then the four generations. Well, what made that possible? Well, there was some character involved. There was some commitment involved. And they passed it on. There was humility involved. Because it's not like Elisha says, hey, get out of the way, I'm the new man. Oh, no, he didn't. Neither did David. So, I feel like I preached as long as Sam Davison. But, I feel like these are very, very important character traits that we need to grasp. So, Father, bless the message. Thank you for your word and for the faithful men and women who have gone before us and handed us the gospel truth. Thank you for the character you have worked in our life, the disciplines that we have needed to be good citizens, let alone good Christians. May you bless our invitation, minister to hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.